Remembrance Day, I think, is probably one of the most powerful days of the year. You know, the idea that the entire nation stops and does this one thing together. Churches up and down, cenotaphs up and down the country are going to be stopping. Everything's going to be stopping at 11 o'clock for that 2 minutes silence. And in fact, it's not just this nation. All over the world, that's going to be happening. Isn't it interesting that different cultures, different places, people from different backgrounds, even in some cases, people who are on different sides, stop and remember. It's such a powerful thing that captures the world. And it's a moment when we stop, we think about some of the most extraordinary, some of the most profound things of life, love and sacrifice and freedom. It's a day when we remember heroism and struggle. It's a day when we remember the clash of good and evil. It's a day when we remember triumph and glory. And there is something about it that captures the imagination of a nation, of a world. Whatever age you are, you know, there's people here who are like 6, 7. There are people here who are 60, 70. One or two, maybe, yeah, a little bit older. And yet here we all are, doing the same thing, stopping and remembering. And here's the question, why is it that this is so powerful? Why is it that this touches at such a deep level of who we are as individuals and as communities and as nations? Why does this feel so important for us? I want to suggest that part of the reason is because this touches something that echoes, that resonates at the very depth of creation itself. There's stuff going on here that keys into what we are at the deepest level of our being. You see, at the heart of creation, at the heart of God's vision for the world, is something that we are called on to remember. There is something that speaks of love. There is something that speaks of sacrifice. There is something that speaks of the clash of good and evil. There is something that speaks of hope and future. There is something that speaks of triumph and of glory. And so when we get these things, it takes us so close to the very center of our reason for being here. And what we're talking about is, of course, the cross. This deep act of sacrifice where God himself comes and makes the ultimate sacrifice. God himself comes and lays down his life. Or in the words of the reading that we've just had, I don't know if you picked this out as Sarah was reading, Christ himself. Like, what is the cross about? Why is Jesus sacrificing himself in this way? Well, it tells us Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Now, there's a couple of strange words in here. And this is the first one that I want us to think about this morning. Christ himself bore our sins in his body. It's a strange word, but it's just a word that the Bible uses to capture all the ways in which we fail to be the people God made us to be. That's all it means. All the things that we do, we know they're wrong, but we do them anyway. All the times when we don't quite do the thing that we know is right. That's what the Bible means by sin. On a day like today, on a day when we are
stopping and thinking about war and conflict and the greed and the selfishness that makes war inevitable. On a day like today, you don't need a preacher to stand up and argue for the fact that this world is not the way it's supposed to be. On a day like today, we are confronted with the fact the world is not the way it is supposed to be. But we are not the way that we are supposed to be. It's true at the national level. It's true for us as individuals as well. What we see worked out in the life of nations, we so often see reflected in the life of individuals. In so many ways, we don't work properly. We're not the people we should be. We're not the people we want to be, let alone the people God wants us to be. And yet here we have this verse, this sentence from the Bible that says, look, Jesus has come to deal with that. See, Jesus has come to take all the stuff that we do that's wrong, and he's going to deal with it. He's going to take it into death, and he's going to kill it, and he's going to leave it there when he comes out on the other side. He's going to take our sin, and he's going to bear it in his body. All right, now you think about it. This is quite a strange concept, isn't it? He's taking our sin, the things that we do wrong, he's going to take them in himself as if he'd done them wrong. And a lot of people struggle with this. They struggle with the idea of sin sort of changing places like that. We think, hang on, if somebody does something wrong, they should be the ones who have to deal with it, right? But the Bible's like, well, yeah, except you can't. So Jesus is going to do it for you. See, he's going to take your sin in his body, and he's going to take it into himself so that he can deal with it. Now, I want you to see this, because this is something that's so important. If you don't understand this, you'll never understand what Christianity is about. You'll never understand what Christianity is about. Christianity is about this transaction, this swap, things swapping places. And the first part of the swap we're going to think of now, and the second part we're going to think of in a minute. You see, Jesus swaps places with us. Jesus swaps our experience of life. Now, I'm going to do this very slowly so you can see how it's done. Because then you'll be impressed when I do it properly, okay? All right, you ready? This is the old Tommy Cooper. You know, what will last that fall? Anyone? No, you guys are all too young for that, right? Okay, ready?
Come on, you're a tough audience. All right, so. It changed him around. Yeah, you see, it's not hard at all, is it? Change him back. All right. Okay, ready? Glass. Bottle glass. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. You didn't even see it happen. All right, but you see this idea of things changing places. This is so central to the idea of Christianity. Christianity is not, hey, do you know what? You need to get better. You need to sort yourself out. You need to be a better person. Become a good person. Come on. So many people think that's what Christianity is about. It's about God saying, look, come on, sort yourself out, be better. Do it right. Not about that at all. What Christianity is about is Jesus coming and saying, guys, look, I know you can't do it better. So let me take the mess, the sin, let me take that, swap this over, I'll take that into death, I'll deal with that, and then I will give you a gift, a present. I will give you the right way of living that I want to see you do. So we're going to come back, we're going to think about this in a moment or two.
But right now, we're going to stop because it's about 5. It's about 5 to 11. So we want to make sure that we're able to stop and to remember, you know, those who had, like Trevor said at the start, those who throughout the history of our nation, throughout the history of the United Kingdom, have laid down their lives, who have fought, and who have borne the scars of conflict, and who have done that we might enjoy the freedom in the future.
So we've been thinking about this sentence from the Bible where this great big swap that takes place. Remember, it's not that Jesus just comes and says, "Oi, you, be better." But it's something far more profound than that is actually taking place. That Christ is swapping things over. He's taking all the ways in which we have failed to be the people that God wants us to be. He's taking all those on himself. He's taking that into death, and he's leaving it there so that it doesn't have the power to define us anymore. So he's swapping things over. All right, that's what's going on. That's what the cross is about, this great swap that takes place. But it's not just that he has taken our sin into death and left it there and dealt with that so that it doesn't have the power to shape us anymore. Again, that's a mistake some people make, that they think, well, you know, being a Christian, it's all about forgiveness. So you can do stuff wrong and then just ask God to forgive you and he'll forgive you and everything's fine. Again, no, there's something far more profound than that going on. There's this swap is taking place where Jesus is taking all the ways in which our life has fallen short of and been out of step with what God wants us to be. But actually, he's giving us something as well. He's not just taking away. He's giving us something as well. He's giving us the ability to become the people that God has called us to be. He's changing us so that we can begin to be much more like Jesus was. See, again, this is something that Peter is saying to us in the reading from the Bible that we had earlier in our service. It's not just that Jesus said, look, give me all the stuff that you've done wrong and I'll deal with that and we'll call it quits. He's like, hey, let me give you something as well. And let me give you the ability to follow my example, to live a different kind of life, follow in the steps of Jesus. See, he brings us back into relationship with God so that the life of God flows through us. Now, Peter tells us as well that actually this is an amazing thing, but it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to be a Christian. It is hard to learn to live your life differently. Right? Some of us, we've been making the same mistake for a long time. You know, we just keep doing the same things wrong over and over and over again. And some of us have got into a way of thinking. It says, look, this is just who I've always been. And I am never going to be anything different. And Jesus says, actually, look, that's not true. Come and be a part of this big swap that's going on. And I will give you the ability to be a different kind of person. But it doesn't just happen. All right? This morning, we have been thinking about, and throughout today, we will be thinking of those great, extraordinary moments that happen in war, where moments of sacrifice, moments of heroism, moments when people like you and me make a decision, you know, that goes against all their instinct to protect themselves and to preserve themselves, and they lay down their lives. They step into danger at often an incredible cost to themselves. But those moments of sacrifice, those moments of heroism, they don't just happen. They don't just happen by accident. Right? These are people who have been hugely invested in. Often for years, they have been trained and they have been supported. And they have been taught. And they have had examples of other soldiers laid before them. And they've exercised and they've been disciplined. And they've been schooled in certain values and given a certain vision of who they are and what their job is. And all of that has been drilled into them over and over and over again. Right? Military life is one of being drilled and drilled and drilled and drilled. Practiced, taught, developing habits, new ways of being and thinking. It's a commitment and a conviction that is born out of months and years of being a part of life in the military, the culture of that, the values of that. And if you don't have it, then an army faces inevitable defeat. You need that investment. You need that training to become someone who is able to do the things that these guys do. I want to suggest you being a Christian is not that dissimilar. See, we have to learn to be a different kind of person. We have to learn to make different kinds of decisions. If I had time this morning, I'd show you how Peter is training and disciplining and drilling Christians to think differently, to make different decisions, to be a different kind of person. But the key thing that I want you to take away from this morning is that Jesus gives us the opportunity to live a different kind of life. That's what Peter says. Jesus gives us the ability to follow his example, to be like him. And I wonder if you've ever had a look at that life. I wonder if you've ever actually taken a look at the life of Jesus to see if it's the kind of life you would want to live. See, a lot of people have dismissed Christianity. A lot of people are like, Christianity's got nothing to say to me. It's got nothing to say to our world. But you know, it's amazing to me as a minister over the years how many people have made that decision, who make that call, and they've never actually stopped to look at who this Jesus is. They've never watched his life. They've never listened to his teaching. I want to invite you this morning to actually stop and to look and to listen. Don't assume you know who Jesus is. Don't assume you know what Jesus teaches. I got just 6 copies of the biography of Jesus, written by Mark. And if you want to take one of these away at the end, they'll be just on the table outside the door. You don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to make a thing of it. You can just be really discreet as you walk past, you know, just casually. Like, you know, put it in your pocket. No one will know. But take a biography of Jesus. Have a look at this guy's life. Have a look at his teaching. And see if there isn't something in there that you actually find deeply compelling. Many of us have done that and thought, you know what, I would love to be like him. Or that we run a course here at church, which is just for people who've got like, you know what, I know nothing about church, never been to church, don't go to church, know nothing about Jesus, but I've got some pretty big questions that I'd like to ask and wrestle through, and I'd like to hear maybe what Jesus has to say about them. It's called the Alpha Course, and we run it. And if you'd be interested in coming along, have a chat with me after the service, and we can give you the details. But I'm going to leave the last word to the Chief Scout, Bear Grylls, who did an Alpha Course and who became a Christian. When he looked at Jesus and saw who this Jesus was, he thought, I want to be like him. So here he is. I would like to say that I got this recorded
just for you this morning, but that would be dishonest.
What does it take to live a life of adventure? The truth is, the first step is always the hardest. That's the one that takes the most courage. But I've learned not to run from that fear and just do it. My Christian faith can be a little up and down, like any relationship. It has struggles and it has doubts. But it's so often brought light to a dark path, warmth to a cold mountain, and strength to a failing body. I remember crawling onto the summit of Everest and clearing the snow from my mask to see the curvature of the earth at the edges, but finding a simple faith that empowers my life, to me, that's been my greatest adventure. Got questions about life? Try Alpha.